St. Luke gives us a very detailed account of the birth of our Savior in the city of David, his father. As you note the careful detailing, the Emperor of Rome, who thought he was a God incarnate and of a bunch should worship, was taking a census to see how many slaves he had. So our Savior, with his Holy Mother and Saint Joseph, made their way to Bethlehem precisely for this occasion. But the real reason was so that Jesus might be born in the city of his ancestor, of whom he was the everlasting heir. It's clear from the account that our Lord's birth outside in the house of an animal, because there was no room for him in the inn, because no one had particular interest in what this very small and unknown family was about. What they did not recognize at first was that here is the true Savior of the world, not the Roman Emperor, who ruled the whole world at that time in one form or another. And so during the night in the darkness, and you want to underscore that word, we sometimes forget that in our modern times. We think the light's always going to be like this, it'll always be good. How can you beat modern science? If you've ever been outdoors trying to find your way in complete darkness, when all of the, I was once, when all of the machinery broke down in a few minutes and there was darkness over the whole earth in New York State, including the great big city, Lily, that has its name. There's a name. Absolutely see nothing at night. You have some idea of what it means to be in the darkness. Why darkness is so closely related to death and hopelessness. Especially that death and hopelessness that follows on guilt for sin. And now, in the very middle of that darkness, a magnificent light shone forth with the birthday of Jesus. The angels, for this moment, before he completed his work on earth in the sacrifice on Calvary, they sang the glory to God in the highest. They went to find the shepherds in the hill, in the night, watching their flock. Not an easy job to do, especially if there are a few lions and tigers around. And the angel came and said to them, "Do not be afraid. We are here to announce to you something of stupendous joy." The text has great, but it's used in a Hebrew way. The absolute grace. You cannot find a joy greater than this one. You cannot find a hope more securely based than a hope based on what is being revealed now. No, you will not be completely sanctified in this moment, but the stupendous part is that the gate has been opened. The gift, the grace that cannot be compared to anything else, pure grace, has brought this about. That there should be something that we can grasp onto to in order to assure our salvation and to prepare ourselves for heaven. Because many people say this is impossible, especially in people in the modern world. Great many biblical commentators say, no, this couldn't be. This kind of a miracle is impossible, and then concluded all miracles are impossible. This is the miracle of miracles. The Son of God, without ceasing to be the Son of God, equal to the Father, has lowered himself, become one of us, poor, humble, frail, precisely in order that we might, from this very moment, have a hope of living as divine persons live. That has come true. Think of all the saints who have believed in the message of the angel, who have believed in the message of the apostles, for the apostles are the angels of the new covenant, who have done their very best to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to deny themselves, in order that they might grow ever more ready for that moment that Jesus calls them to heaven, that they might participate in his work, that he is not only, as it were, once present, as we are present to each other, but in a way still more wonderful. The light that shone in Bethlehem has shone all over the world. It is the presence of Jesus. Even if I am physically blind, that does not mean that by faith I cannot know of his presence, cannot in some way recognize him as he is present here. And what is still more wonderful, eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. For he has promised that those who do so may die, but they will continue to live. That is the great lesson that's being left for us. Light itself, not an instrument to produce what looks like light and see something for a little while, but that life, that is light. The light enables us to recognize life in this fullest sense, is a life of charity. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Let us, as it were, also contemplate the other miracle that is inseparable from that of the birth of Jesus. That is the role of his mother. Precisely through her intercession, precisely because she accepted the task that she was assigned her to be the mother of Jesus, she accepted with that also the task of being our mothers, of being reborn in baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us beg her to continue to look after us, to help us to understand and to believe and place all our hopes in the only thing worth hoping for, an eternity of joy, greater than which cannot be imagined, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and during our journey on earth, always access to Jesus and Mary, especially in these dwellings where we find the Blessed Mother, because where we find her, we find Jesus. And where we find Jesus, we find ourselves always drawn towards him. Let us not refuse the graces that are given to us. Let us always strive to be ready for that moment when Jesus calls us to himself. And let us finally always be thankful. It is the reason we are celebrating the Holy Sacrifice in the middle of the night, to express our praise, our wonder, our admiration, our thanks for this stupendous miracle that is the virginal conception and birth of Jesus. Praise be Jesus and Mary.